This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4000 for Friday, the 1st of December 2023. Today's show is entitled New Orleans. It is part of the series Travel. It is hosted by Ahu Kai and is about 16 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, we visit the Big Easy.
Hello, this is Ahuka welcoming you to Hacker Public Radio and another exciting episode in our ongoing saga of RV travels, and we're going to New Orleans. So, New Year's Day, January 1st, 2023. We left Vicksburg and took US 61 south to Louisiana, heading for the town of Convent, about an hour outside of New Orleans. We had reservations at a campground called Sugar Hill, but when we got there, the camp host sent us down the road to the Poche Plantation RV Park. We were worried that this was going to be a big snafu, but the camp host there was very friendly and accommodating, and it turns out he is from Michigan. Apparently, both of those campgrounds are owned by the same person. The one that we had talked to at Sugar Hill also owns this Poche Plantation. Everything was fine. Whatever he said would go. So we were able to get a spot, and it seemed like a nice place to spend a few nights and get into town for some sightseeing. So we got settled in. And the host at the Poche Plantation, we said, was from Michigan. And we were parked right next to him. On the other side of us was parked a couple that is also from Michigan. In the course of this trip, we ran into people from Michigan more often than we would have expected. And even people who had actually heard of the town of Ypsilanti, which I thought was, I was always going to figure I was going to have to spell it out for people, and sometimes I did, but a lot of people said, oh, no, I know about Ypsilanti. Anyway, the next day, January 2nd, we thought that would be a good day to do a tour of the French Quarter. Now, the first problem we had to deal with is parking. Parking in a city, when you have a big truck like ours, is not easy. Most parking is for ordinary automobiles, and we need more space. Our truck is too large to go into a parking structure. It's taller than a car. It's a Freightliner truck. So we needed to find an open lot that could accommodate us. And if yesterday was any guide, we expected a lot of humidity. Yet once we're in the city, it was cooler than expected. The river gives a cool breeze, and it was even a bit chilly on top of the levee. We were able to park without a problem, thankfully, in a lot about 6 blocks away from Jackson Square. We did a little walking around the French Quarter on our own, and then we had arranged to take a guided tour, and we met our guide for a 2-hour walking tour of the old city. We were in a group of, 10, 15 people on this walking tour. We learned a lot of New Orleans history and had a great time. We may not need to go back to this area again, okay? We've walked the French Quarter, we've been on Bourbon Street, and, aside from getting back there during Mardi Gras, I wouldn't think that there's any other reason to do it again. We went back to the Poche Plantation RV park after this and joined our neighbors. They had an informal happy hour. And we've seen this at a number of the parks where, people would get together, around 4 o'clock, and, those who partake would, maybe get out a beer. Cheryl and I don't drink, so, I got my Diet Pepsi. And then made dinner, and that was that for the day. January 3rd, the weather report was for thunderstorms. So we decided, okay, take a day of rest, stay inside. I played a few hours of Civilization 4 without getting into a winning position. Then we had dinner and watched another episode of Picard before going to bed. January 4th, we had a weird night. There was a thunderstorm, which was in the forecast, so not unexpected. In fact, we looked forward to it since the humidity was uncomfortably high and we needed a fan to get to sleep. But around 3 a.m., I realized the fan had stopped and my CPAP machine had stopped, and that made it harder to breathe. I got up and verified that all of the outlets in our bedroom were dead. But the outlets in the living room and kitchen were still working. So we ran extension cords and got everything running again, but it took a while to get back to sleep. Then around 5:30 a.m., we lost power again, and now all of our outlets were out. So our first question was whether something had happened to our RV or was it more general. But, you know, you don't go knocking on people's doors at 5:30 a.m. Then a few minutes later, I hear a loud bang and a flash of light. And I thought to myself, I bet a transformer just blew. And that is indeed what happened to a transformer about 100 feet from our camper. And as other folks got up and came outside, we discovered it had taken out power for most of the campground. Then a fellow came by who is an electrical engineer who also lives in this area and who monitored what happened. He said that one leg had gone out first. Then a few hours later, the other one had gone. So apparently the 120-volt power to the bedroom is on a different leg from the 120-volt power to the rest of the RV. Now, we have 50-amp power, and the way that works, 50 amps is a four-prong plug. And the way that four-prong plug works is you've got one prong gives you 120 volts of power. Another prong also gives you 120 volts of power. And the other two are the neutral and the ground. So the neutral is how the power returns because, you know, electricity is a flow. And the ground is there if something goes wrong. So with 50 amp power, we do have two different legs coming in, and apparently that matters in that some of the outlets are on one leg and some are on the other. So, learned something about electricity and electric power from this. Now, this guy, who is the engineer, also knew someone who he could call and get reasonably prompt action from the utility. But in the meantime, Tom and Judy from the rig next to us, a couple from Michigan, invited us to join them in going out for coffee and breakfast, which we were very happy to accept. Then we drove around the area after breakfast to see some of the plantations, and they explained to us about the sugarcane fields. Now, this area grows a lot of sugarcane, and you could say that in this part of Louisiana, it is it's either chemicals and refining or sugar production. We saw a lot of both. Shortly after getting back to the Post Plantation RV park, we saw a utility truck arrive. And after looking at the transformer, he decided he needed to have a new one brought to him. So we kind of sat there watching the parked truck for a little bit and then thought, well, this is stupid. We need to do some grocery shopping. Let's go do it. And by the time we got back from the grocery shopping, the utility truck was just pulling out and power had been restored. Now, at this point, I was not entirely happy with the state of the world because I had not gotten a good night's sleep. I hadn't had my morning shower, and I now had a bit of a headache. So it was just dinner and go to bed. Now, January 5th, we got an early start and headed into downtown New Orleans to visit the National World War II Museum. This is a pretty big place, occupying a city block with some great exhibits. But when they say national, that means they're only concerned with the U.S. experience. Things like the Battle of Britain are only mentioned in passing, nothing about the Stalingrad and the Eastern Front, nothing about the fall of Singapore, and so on. So everything starts on December 7th, 1941, and talks about the places where U.S. soldiers were officially fighting. But it was very well done. We were told by our camp host, who had been here, that to start with the movie. It's billed as 4D. But what that really means is that the lights in the theater are actively flashing and the seats are rumbling along with the film. Still, very nicely done. Reminded me of some things we'd seen at Disney World where they had done similar things with movies. We had 40 minutes to kill before the next showing, however, so we went to the D-Day landings exhibit first. Then we went to the film. And after the film, Cheryl had lunch and I had a coffee. Now, I don't usually eat lunch. Breakfast usually holds me until dinner time. So after Cheryl had her lunch and I had my coffee, we went to the Road to Berlin exhibit. This started with the Allied landings in Morocco, then through the capture of Tunisia, the invasion of Sicily, and finally Italy, up to the capture of Rome, which was in June 1944, a few days before D-Day. Then it was on to D-Day, the hedgerows of Normandy, the capture of Paris, and from there to the disaster of Market Garden, the Battle of the Bulge, breaching the Siegfried Line, and finally Berlin and the German surrender in May 1945. Then after that, we went to the Road to Tokyo. And this was all about naval warfare and jungle fighting. It started with Pearl Harbor, then Midway, Guadalcanal, the Battle of the Coral Sea, and the island hopping. There was lots of stuff about naval aircraft and carriers, about the engineers and construction battalions, called the Seabees, and the amphibious landings on the islands. A look at what Japan did in China brought to mind that we tend to focus on the Nazis as the ultimate evil, but Japan was every bit as evil as the Nazis, and for much the same reason. A conviction of racial superiority, coupled with a belief that other races and nationalities were less human. It was a good reminder of why it is so important that we stamp out white supremacy wherever it appears. Then it came to the fighting on Iwo Jima and Okinawa, which made a very convincing case for dropping the bomb. Now, we could probably spend another day there quite productively, and if you have any interest in the history of World War II, I recommend it highly. But a day was about what we had to spend. So, January 6th, our last full day, is mostly about taking it easy and doing some errands. We need to fill a propane tank, do a little shopping. We need to dump our tanks. You know, life on the road in an RV is not one long vacation. You have to do life things as well. But in the evening, we went to an American Legion post in Thibodeau for the Cajun Jam. You see, January 6th, Epiphany, is known as King's Day here, and it's the start of the Mardi Gras season. We had a nice dinner there, lots of Cajun music and people dancing, many of them in colorful costumes. Kind of reminded me of the Irish Cayleys that we've been to. Now, the music was very different, but the spirit was much the same. By the time we got back from that, we just went to bed. January 7th. Now we start our journey across the Gulf Coast, going from New Orleans to Alabama. We were on the road shortly after 9 a.m. and continued our acquaintance with I-10. I-10 runs across the southern United States from coast to coast. And we spent a lot of time on the I-10 in Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. Well, now Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama and Florida. Okay. So, anyway, just over the border in Mississippi is the John C. Stennis Space Center. And this is the place where they test the rocket engines. Now, we saw a genuine Saturn V first stage left over when they canceled the Apollo program. But, frankly, there just wasn't as much stuff to see here as, say, in Huntsville. We went through in about 2 hours. And honestly, you wouldn't need to spend more time than that here. We did catch a half-hour 3D movie while we were there, which was nice. Then it was time to get back on the road to Gulf Shores, Alabama, just south of Mobile. We pulled into Sunrunner's RV Park a little after 4 and relaxed until bedtime. So, this is Ahuka for Hacker Public Radio, signing off and encouraging you, as always, to support free software. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, you can click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.